Good morning, a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, President Donald Trump ordered the removal of 2,000 troops from Syria, bringing a sudden end to a campaign that largely vanquished the Islamic State, and he's declaring victory over ISIS. Among others, Republicans aren't too happy.
Not only Republicans, but Democrats, nobody's happy with this one. It's almost universal. Here's what the guy did. He goes in and he puts out a statement and a tweet, and he says, "We're out of Syria, bring everybody home," and forgot to talk to his defense apparatus people, to the Secretary of Defense, to anybody else. And boy, the condemnation has been extraordinary. Lindsey Graham, for example, is just skewering the guy, not only out in the hallway with the CNN guys, but also on the floor of the Senate. And he's not alone. Corker and everybody else. So this may be one of the great moments in which the normally recalcitrant and defensive Republicans come over and say, this guy has really lost it. He, instead of putting out tweets later, put out a film, a video, in which he tries to explain himself. But the response has been huge. Now, there will be those who say, hey, you know, maybe this idea of deploying troops all over the world isn't the best idea in the world. And he may get some credit for that. Nevertheless, he really did take on not only his usual political enemies, but his friends, David.
And what about at least one piece of criticism I saw, comparing it to some of the actions of former President Bill Clinton when he was under a cloud for Monica Lewinsky's scandal, that this is a way of distraction from the many investigations going on with the president?
Well, that's what you have to worry about. We're talking about wagging the dog at this stage of the game. You know, that's when we really are in trouble. If he is as unstable as many people think he is, then what's the limit? Is it his hand on the button? Is it now the fight that is going to be going on with North Korea? Where will this stop? And at what point will the country be in so much danger that somebody is going to have to come forward? This could really be a disaster. We hope it's not, but there's always the possibility that if that's the game, as you suggest, then it could get much, much worse.
And how about the fight with his own state, New York? Alan, you got involved yesterday in your conversation with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo after the latest Twitter proclamation in which the president lashed out at Cuomo and other Democrats over the news that the Trump Foundation will cease operations and have its remaining funds appropriated to other charities.
Well, of course, Trump has come back and said, this is a disgrace. We've done real good. We've given out billions of dollars, and a lot of that is my money and all my personal money and all the rest. But believe me, they would not have entered into this consent agreement unless they thought they really had it rough. They did the same thing earlier with Trump University. They had him on that one, too, and they gave up the ghost on that. Now, the same thing with the Trump Foundation. Obviously, this foundation has been used to forward Trump's own interests in the campaign, and they had him pretty well cold. I mean, on the foundation, you know, material was Make America Great Again, the Trump mantra for the campaign. So they had him. Again, I can't say it enough. This woman, Barbara Underwood, has proven to be an incredible attorney general. It's really too bad that she's not going to be the attorney general because she has done that kind of work. Instead, we'll have somebody who's very close to Cuomo coming in. When I asked Cuomo about that, he was forthcoming and acknowledged that Underwood had done a good job, but it wasn't exactly a thrilling endorsement.
He also responded to former governor and attorney general Eliot Spitzer after he said Cuomo has an Orwellian relationship with the facts, and Cuomo didn't shy away from his criticism in response.
No, as a matter of fact, what had happened is, as you know, David, I was on the line with the governor. We were doing that interview. It was live. And all of a sudden comes a response from Spitzer to Cuomo. And Cuomo just let him have it. You know, Eliot Spitzer is a guy I like very much and have great respect for. Cuomo probably should have held it in, but he decided he was just going to go for it, and he really ripped him about his disgrace and everything else, and the fact that he didn't really have a governorship, and it was less than gubernatorial in my mind.
You also had an interesting analogy when it came to the issue of codifying the abortion landmark Roe versus Wade 1973 Supreme Court decision into law in New York, and he says, basically, they say they're going to punch you in the face, then they punch you in the face.
Yeah, he says Trump has not been quiet about what his plans are. And so, You know, he's going to get a lot of very favorable backup in New York for trying to codify Roe v. Wade into state law so that the people who are opposed to a woman's right to control her own body will be defeated. He's going to do it. New Yorkers are going to support him on this, and they should.
Speaking of supporting, the new chief of staff for President Trump, Mick Mulvaney, is apparently, according to Politico, Alan, this morning, six sources close to the Trump aide and Republicans close to the White House say he will have a different approach, basically giving the president free rein.
Well, then the real question is, what kind of chief of staff is he going to be? We know that Kelly was brought in to bring sensibility out of chaos and tried to do that. It worked for a little while, but in the end, he got beaten up. It turns out, surprise, surprise, that blood is thicker than water and that the family, the Trump family, didn't like him because he wanted to impede their access and other things like that. So now they bring in a guy and another guy, and the other guy is going to say, whatever you want, boss, do whatever you want.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Alan, as always, thank you.
Thank you, David. I know how hard you work, and you have so many responsibilities at the station. And still, you get up every morning and you make those donuts.
And don't forget the coffee.